Are we? Yeah. Okay. Να κάνουμε προσευχή. Okay. Να κάνουμε προσευχή. Is this? Does it work? Okay. Στο όνομα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος, αμήν. Δόξα σε ο Θεός, ελπίσιμον, δόξα σε Βασιλεύ, ουράνιε παράκλητο, το πνεύμα της αληθείας, πανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρών, ο θησαυρός των αγαθών και ζωής χορηγός, ελθέ και σκήνουσον εν ημίν και καθάρισον ημάς από πάσης κυλίδος και σώσον αγαθέτας ψυχάς ημών. You may be seated. Okay. It's good to see you. Everyone, see everyone here. We have to be careful with the restrictions. So we are spaced out and every single one is wearing a mask, which is good, including myself. Yeah. Do you have any questions for what we've said so far? Now, for the ones watching us online, they can ask questions through the comments on Facebook. And do we also have the option of the messenger? It might be coming. Or you can ask Faith, she can keep an eye and forward them to you until we manage that. So there will also be the option of the messenger for those that they want to ask questions privately and not be seen in the comments. We're very blessed that we can manage to have this gathering tonight, because from midnight the Sydney city, as you probably know, will be in total lockdown, and we're just a few hours away from that. But God gives us this opportunity today, tonight. And hopefully by the next time, things will clear up so we can still have our next gathering in 2 weeks' time. Now, we were to the point that we were going to talk about humility. And maybe we start reading what Yerda Similiano says about humility, and we go from there. So let's see now the first virtue that Saint Ezechiel talks about in this chapter, humility. So we need humility. We need humility because our struggle, our war, is against the demons who are very proud. And if we are humble, we will have Christ's help at hand, close to us, in our hearts, because the Lord hates the proud ones. That's what Saint Ezechiel says. So the Satan is against humility. He cannot even imitate a humble person, but he is very happy when someone is proud, because the proud people belong to him. He can't even go close to humility. The devil can't even go close to humility. The way that smoke keeps away the bees, the same way humility keeps away the demons. So when we use humility, then the Lord will throw out, will kick out the proud Satan, because he hates him, and he will help us straight away. That's a very nice picture, says Γέροντας Εμιλιανός. It shows us the human heart as a hand that asks for help from God. And God replies straight away, putting inside our hand His own will, what a pious soul will ask for. That's when we have humility. Anything about that? So humility is very, very important. We can't do anything without God's help, and to attract God's help, we need to be humble. But we said before, humility is not, it is a virtue, but it's not something strange, it's not something different from our nature. If we are the way we should be, this is to be humble, because we understand that we are created, meaning that there is nothing that we can do without God's help and without God's will, because we are not gods. And the devil tried to take God's place, and he ended up being devil. And the funny thing is that he tried to get the glory, and he became miserable. We could say a Greek saying, ότι βράζει μέσα στο ζουμί του. I don't know how to say this in English, but people that they do everything for glory, people that they are proud, they end up being very sad, very isolated from everyone, and they're even isolated from their inner self. And of course, they are isolated from God. They're very lonely, and they suffer. They can't be happy. A person who's proud cannot be happy, because he's annoyed by everything. If everything doesn't happen the way he or she wants, they're not happy, they're annoyed. So a person who's proud is never happy. And all their effort is to do something that will put them above others. But this is such a big struggle. It's such a big effort, and we don't understand that it is very easy, or to put it in other words, it's easier if we were to try to be humble than to try to be the best of the best. And it will cause us psychological issues, because usually we can't achieve what we want, and we become sad, we become depressed, we have anxiety about getting things that we think they will put us on the top of everyone, of everything, and then we lose the meaning of life. And all this, why? Because we have an idea of ourselves, and we want to be somebody. So it's more effort to be proud, and at the end of the day you can lose your soul, than to be humble. But to be humble, we need to deny ourselves. We need to understand that we were created from nothing, and we are nothing. As I was driving here, I saw something which was, I could say, interesting. So there was this homeless lady sitting on the floor outside of a shop, and next to her there was this dog, and she had a blanket, and with the blanket she covered the dog. She wouldn't cover herself. And I looked and I thought, could I do that? I don't know. But what crossed my mind was that God can bring us to a point that there is nothing around us that can help us. Like, if God doesn't help us, that's it. God can bring us to this point. And it's very easy. Like, we know from the Old Testament examples that, like, Kodikios, Iov, Job, he had everything, he lost everything. Then God gave him more. But when he lost everything, he had nothing. And if he didn't have his faith in God, he would have just lost his mind. So there are times in our lives that we feel that we don't know where to turn to. These are the times to understand that without God's help, we are nothing. And we have to learn this lesson. I might be a bishop, but without God's help, I'm nothing. And I'm not saying this like someone, it's funny, someone was trying to be humble, so he was saying, I'm nothing. And then someone told him, yes, you are nothing. And then he reacted. Because he had such a big idea of himself, but he was trying to be humble on top of everything, to be better than others. That's how he dealt with the situation. And then when you hit him where it hurts, he reacts. So humility is an inner situation, an inner condition, and it's a spiritual level inside us, which actually it's what it is to be a normal person. To be proud, it's not normal. To be humble is normal, because as we said, we are created and we owe everything to God, so without God we're nothing. Yes, so proud people, they try and they try and they try to get what they want, but in the process they forget that they are humans. They forget that if God takes everything away, we could be the ones sitting on the floor outside of a shop with a dog or without a dog, with a blanket or without a blanket. And then if God allows this, I wonder how we will deal with it. How will we deal with it? But God doesn't allow this to everyone. I guess he allows this to people that can handle it. And it's humbling because we look down to these people, but probably, psychologically at least, they might be stronger than us to be able to handle situations like this. Anyway, God knows their stories. But because we have everything, or because we have more than a lot of other people, we need to appreciate what God has given us. And if anything, we need to be open to our fellow brothers and sisters, and open in a way that if they ask a favor, if they ask for something, we need to be human. We can't say, I can't do that because pride hits us. We can't say, I know better because we are proud. We shouldn't. We need to take ourselves to the level of the ground and start from there. If we don't do that, we will go below ground. Once someone one of my spiritual children asked me, how can I be humble? Anyone? Any idea? How can we be humble? There is no right or wrong answer. I mean, there is, but I won't tell you, so. Yes? Just a minute, we need the microphone. So the question is, how can we be humble? What do you think, Panagiotis?
Just realizing that we're not in control.
Yeah, we're usually control freaks. Yes. Anyone else? Thank you. I'll stop talking. I would love to stop talking. I wish I could. Yes, this is a humbling exercise. Yeah. There is a story about that. I told you before, but we might repeat it. It's a funny one. Anyone else? All right, about not talking. There was this nun in a female monastery. We won't say who and where. And I told you this story before. So she was reading in the Gerodico that the ascetics, they were putting prayer bulls. This is how they're called. Votsala. Pebbles. In their mouth in order not to talk. So her job was to be an iconographer. She went to the iconography studio. She had one already in her mouth, so she couldn't talk. The sisters, they said, Ευλογείτε. She couldn't talk. Then Gerodissa had some important people visiting the monastery, so she was giving them the tour of the monastery, and they went through the iconography studio. And this is sister such and such, it's a sister such and such. How are you, sister? She couldn't talk. What's wrong? She couldn't talk. Then when the visitors went away, she took off the rock, and Gerodis asked her, what happened? And the sister said, Gerodis, I thought that that's an ascetic exercise to do. And of course, you can't do such things without a blessing, because this is pride. So she thought that she could reach the level of the ascetics, and that was a proud thought. But she didn't end up being more humble from the exercise, or the spiritual exercise, but from the embarrassment. And she also humiliated Gerodissa in front of the visitors. And Gerodissa, the only thing that she said was, okay, my child, nothing else. How, we asked this question before, but it's a very important one. We've got a question. All right. Nice big letters, thank you. I don't need my glasses, that's great. How can we understand, or how can, for ourselves, if an action that we do is humble or proud? This is a very serious question. We've answered it before, but it's a very serious question, because sometimes our thoughts, they can drive us crazy. If we try to be humble, our thoughts can drive us crazy. So we go to this question, but before that, I will just tell you what I started and I didn't finish. So my spiritual child asked, Gerda, how can I be humble? And I told him, ask for it. He did. And trust me, when you ask for humility, it will come to you from corners that you don't expect. And ask for it gently, because you might not be able to humble it, to handle it. Yes. So he copped it from directions that he was not expecting, and he realized that we shouldn't ask for things we can't handle. You can also ask, but don't ask for too much. Okay? So what were we saying? We were saying, how can we discern if a thought we've got is humble or proud? Because I might be thinking, I will do what Christ did washing someone else's feet, But then I will have a thought that I am like Christ. So that's a proud thought. So our thoughts can drive us crazy, literally, if we don't know how to deal with them. So how can we understand if a thought, if for an action, is humble or proud? Anyone? We've said this before. If you remember, just repeat it. No one remembers?
Feeling peace.
Yes, we have to feel peace, of course. There is something more. We have to ask God before we do it. There's something more. Do you remember? No?
I've got a story.
Alright, just a minute. Just a minute. No, we'll get there. We'll get there. So people can hear you.
Sorry, I don't think it's the answer, because I can't remember what you said the answer was, but I remember the story of Saint Simeon of Stylitae, who, when he decided, when he had a...
He was on the pole.
He was on the pole. He thought, I'll go up on the pole and I'll live my life on top of the pole and pray to God there and remove myself from society so that I can spend more time praying to God there. And he had this thought. So he built the tower and went up there. The other monks who were with him got together and said, is this a proud thing or is it a humble thing that he's doing? Is it from God or not? We'll get together and we'll work out a way to test and see if this is humble or not. And so what they did was they went up to St. Simeon of Stylitae and they said to him, come down from there, you're too proud.
The bishop told them to do this.
Is that right?
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
And they were telling him off for doing it. And St. Simeon of Stylitae came down straight away. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I was wrong. And then they said, okay, because you've done that, go back up again.
That's how they realized that he was not deluded.
Yeah.
Because when he started that, he was like one of the first ones who ever did this. So it was an ascetic action which was unknown. And the church didn't know what to think about this.
So the thing about that to me is that he's willing to listen to other people, take advice. He doesn't rely on his own thoughts about whether something's right or wrong. He's willing to be wrong and willing to change his program for what other people say to him. Yeah.
That's correct. But there's something more. According to my opinion, there might not be, but yeah. Any other thoughts? How can we understand if our action is humble or not? Because our thoughts can trick us. All right. So I think to have an idea if what we're doing is humble or not, we need to think why we do what we're doing. So if I was to wash someone else's feet like Christ did, am I doing it because I will be praised from others? That's pride. Am I doing it because I will think that I'm like Christ? This could be pride. Not necessarily, but it could be pride. If I don't want to imitate Christ in the right way, in a humble way. Am I doing it because I want people to talk about me? Am I doing it to be the center of attention? All these are proud reasons behind the humble action. So it's very confusing. So we need to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? And then you have the example of Panagia. She accepted to be the mother of God. There is nothing higher than that. None of us can be the mother of God again. It happened once, that's it. So she is greater than all the creation. She accepted to be the mother of God, and this was a humble action. Why? Because she didn't do it for herself. She didn't do it for herself. She did it out of love for God. If whatever we do it out of love for our fellow men and for God, even if it looks like a proud thing, it is a humble thing. It is a humble thing. If I'm here and talking to you because I want to be famous, I'm like Lucifer. But if I'm here and talking to you because it hurts me that whatever I have, you might not. Whatever I know, you might not know. That's not for myself. I'd rather put a stone in my mouth and stop talking, to be honest, because that's my character as well. And I'm not saying this to tell you that I'm humble, all right? I'm not saying this to tell you that I'm humble, but I'm saying that in our actions we need to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? And this will tell us if we are humble or if we are tricking ourselves thinking that we are humble. Because we might trick ourselves to have peace, and then we might be peaceful, but we might be deluded. And this is not spiritual peace, it's psychological peace. That's a different story. But if my actions, they are out of love for the other person, I might become a king. And if I know that there is no one else that could do this without creating problems, that's a humble action. It's not a proud action. It's a humble one. Because it's not for myself. If you were to ask me what I want to hide in a storeroom. But if I was to do this, that's a proud thing. Because if God has given me things that I'm not sharing with the church, this is proud. This is like taking the talent and digging a hole and burying it in there and saying to the Lord, I was afraid of you and I wouldn't care less. Well, that's a proud thing to do. That's not a humble thing to do. So we can't judge a book by its cover. We can't judge people from their actions. We can't even judge ourselves from our actions. We need to know what's behind. We need to know how this person thought in order to do this action. And this will tell us if he's humble or not. And of course, it's not for us to judge others, but we can use this for ourselves. So if I want to become something, am I doing this to help others? And I'm not telling you not to do anything in your life if you don't think like that. But what I'm telling you is that the things that you do, and they are the others, they are the reason, these things, they are humble. They are humble. I'm not telling you not to be the best in what you're doing. God is perfect. We have to try and do the best in everything that we can. But what I'm telling you is that let's do what we do for the ones we love at least, if not for everyone else. So the husband do the best for the wife. The wife do the best for the husband, for the kids. Let's do the best that we can for the others at least. Like for the ones that we love at least, if not for everyone else. And then it will be a humble thing, regardless what it is. So let's say that there is a position in a committee which is empty, and someone has the ability to join this committee and be the president of the committee in a parish, right? And he doesn't want to do it because people might tell him that he is not humble. Well, he's proud. If he can do it and he doesn't do it because of what people will say, he's proud. And it's false humility. And he deceives himself and he deceives everyone else as well. No, I'm nothing, I can't do it. Yeah, all right, you're nothing, you can't do it. But you're not nothing and you can't do it because you have the gift that God gives us. It's not for ourselves, they are to be used for the church, for the benefit of the church. If we don't use them, it's like we steal them. It's like we take something from God and we use it for ourselves. It's not for self-use, sorry. The saints, they did not become saints to use their holiness for themselves. They became saints because they loved God. This is communion. has nothing to do with themselves. So we need to change the way that we think. And this is so blurry in everyone's conception that we don't even know what we do, if it's right or wrong. Because we don't even know if we care for others. We don't think like that. Do I care for others in what I'm doing? But we need to change the way of thinking for this. So, and we need to understand in this way if what we do is humble or not humble. And we've got a question from Facebook. Was it through Messenger or comments? Comments? All right. So the question says, can we become humble without God's intervention, such as God allowing a trauma, loss or pain to help us humble ourselves? All right. Anyone? Any thoughts? And then I'll say my opinion, my humble opinion. Anyone has a humble opinion? No? Not today? Anything? I'll repeat the question. Can we become humble without God's intervention, such as God allowing a trauma, loss, or pain to help us humble ourselves? Come on. Anyone? No? It's funny. I'll say this and then maybe someone can talk. Once, I've said this to you before as well, somewhere, I can't remember where I said it. Once we were in a talk, the Archbishop was talking, our Archbishop was talking, and no one had any questions or anything to say. And then the Archbishop told us, the humble people have questions. And everybody thought, but by not having questions, they were showing that they were humble. Yes, it's the conception of, yeah. So people that don't have questions, it means that they know everything. Is this a humble thing? I don't know, I'm just asking. All right, now that we analyze that, anybody has an opinion about the issue? Can we become humble without God's intervention, such as God allowing a trauma, loss, or pain to help us humble ourselves? There is a humble person to talk.
I feel like the question, there's two things in the question. Can we become humble without God's intervention? No. But whether we can become humble without bad things happening to us, I'm not sure.
That's right. Any other humble opinion? No humble opinions. Okay. So we cannot become humble without God's help, intervention, whatever you can call it. But Hierodes Simeonos, in the previous pages, somewhere, he talks about epignomoniki ταπείνωση, which means that we ourselves willingly humble ourselves as a spiritual exercise. So epignomoniki means that with my own gnomi, with my own will, with my own strength, I humble myself. So let's say that there is a fight, somehow a fight started in a family. The one that wants to practice epignomoniki ταπείνωση, self-willingly humility, yes, if we can call it this way, will step back and say, all right, there is no reason to fight, doesn't matter, something like this. But if we don't practice this, then from the one fight to the other, you end up in a divorce, your kids they go 1 week to the one parent, 1 week to the other parent, or there is a restraining order and they stay with the one parent. And we end up in loss, pain, trauma, and we humble ourselves. We don't humble ourselves, we humiliate ourselves. There are two different things. There's one thing to humble ourselves, and there's another thing to humiliate ourselves. And sometimes from humiliation we can become humble, but sometimes from humiliation our ego is hurt and we don't become humble. We fight back. So if we practice humility ourselves, epignomonική ταπείνωση, self-willingly, then God will help as well. And God doesn't need to step in our lives in a drastic way to break our pride, to tell us that we're proud. But sometimes there are situations and we're not responsible for them, like trauma, loss, or pain. And if we use them the right way, we can become humble. If we don't use them the right way, we can be hurt psychologically. And that's not humility. That's someone being hurt. And it has nothing to do with humility. It has to do with extra pain. But if we were humble enough, even if we go through trauma, loss, and pain, we will not be hurt. I don't know if this makes any sense. Does it make any sense? So the humble person cannot be hurt. Because if you're on the floor, even if they step on you, you're on the floor, they might as well. But if you think you're in the roof and they throw you on the floor, you won't accept it. You will be hurt. Anyone on this? Humility. It's not an easy thing. May God show His mercy on us. Okay. And we continue. So, if we have humility, then in a humble way, we will be able to recite Jesus' prayer and pray. And then, before we even ask for something, God will place it inside the hands of our hearts. So we turn ourselves towards God with, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, with a spiritual vision, a spiritual prayer, and we find everything in front of us. Peace, sweetness, beauty, brightness, the brightness of the Lord's face. They become our experience day and night. And not just that, but every day we will get more spiritual knowledge. And the experience of every day, the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge of every day, will be added in our previous experiences. And we become full of knowledge, love, divine energy, and full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Does anybody have anything to say on that? The humble person is free. The humble person is free. If we think that we don't possess anything, even if they take everything from us, doesn't change anything. Yeah. So the humble person, in a way, it is free. He is free. Yeah. Anything else? Anna, here.
I think the humility also makes the person safe, because if they ascribe the virtues that they start to see growing within them to God and not to themselves, then they won't get into trouble.
Yep.
Otherwise,
they can. Yep. That's right. Yes, humility is spiritual safety. That's very correct and very important. Yes, that's right. Anyone else, anything? Here, Γέροντας Εμιλιανός says that on a daily basis, we will get more spiritual experiences. And we will become full of knowledge. I wanted to tell you that when we experience God, the experience can be once or few times or whenever, and there are different levels of experiences, but believe it or not, and whether we understand it or not, these spiritual experiences, they give us knowledge, spiritual knowledge. I'll give you an example, which is not what exactly I want to say, but I can't explain it in a better way. We said so many times about St. Anthony the Great that he heard the Holy Gospel saying, go sell everything and follow me, and he did it. So basically, the Gospel, the Holy Gospel, this phrase of the Holy Gospel, spoke to him on the specific day. And it was like Christ telling him, this is what you need to do. Somewhere else, Γέροντας Εμιλιανός says that this can happen to us on a daily basis when we read the Holy Gospel. Because when we reach to the point that God speaks to us in lots of ways, but also through the Holy Gospel, whatever we read on a daily basis, we will keep it in mind, and it will come a point during the day that we will use it. And it will be the answer to something that we can choose from, choose what to do on the day. For example, the Gospel might say, I don't know if the Gospel says something like this somewhere, but the Gospel might say, be humble, right? Which is a subject. And we go to work, and our boss starts telling us off, which is very common, or maybe not, I don't know, could be. If we keep in mind what the Gospel told us on the day, this morning, when we prayed, we will keep it in mind and we won't try to be smart. And trust me, this is what the answer for this occasion is on the day. Some other day, we might read something else and follow a different direction, but I'm telling you, the Gospel, even if you just do it on a Sunday, every Sunday, just hear to the Gospel and try and memorize it, think about what it talks during the day, and you will see that questions will arise during the day, that the answers are there. And it's like God told you beforehand, and you know what to do and how to act. This is a spiritual experience, and this can happen on a daily basis. But this does not explain what Γέροντας is saying here. This is just something parallel. Γέροντας says here that if we are humble, then on a daily basis, our experience with Christ, with God, with the Holy Trinity, will increase, will be different, will be improving, or will give us a new knowledge, a new experience. And then we need to understand that even understanding the Gospel or the Scripture or understanding our fellow people, it all happens when we experience God. How can I explain this to you? If you don't have a spiritual life, you can't even understand yourselves. But if you do have a spiritual life, humility will come easier by itself. It's not that you will not be tempted. We will all be tempted. We will continue being tempted. But humility is more natural to us. And the understanding of the struggle that someone else goes through will be more obvious. And we will love the other people more. So we start from humility. We get improvement in our prayers. And then God can give us more humility because this is a side effect, not a side effect, but an effect of the grace of God when it comes. And with this, we get understanding about life, understanding about the people around us, understanding about ourselves, understanding about God. So when we said this a million times, when St. Gregory the theologian spoke about the Holy Spirit back then, that no one knew that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son and is God as well. No one could express it this way. He talked about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a person, because he experienced the Holy Spirit, not because he read it somewhere. But people who experience the Holy Trinity, they have an understanding of what love is. If you understand what love is, if you understand how much God loves us, then how can you deny your love from someone? You can't. It's impossible. You can't. Anything on that?
Do we ever get to a point, or should we get to a point before we die that we understand ourselves in like our entirety?
Yes, we should. We should. Of course, God is merciful, regardless if we get there or not. But this should be one of our aims. It's just that, and I'm repeating what we said again a lot of times, Yerdes Emilianos says that we will see God first and then we will find the strength to understand and face ourselves. But we should. Because when we see what's inside us, when we understand why we do what we do, and when we come in terms with our attitude, with our weaknesses, then it means that we become more mature. And there is another question. Anyone else on that? Yes. We should at least aim to experience God before we die. Saint Simeon the New Theologian says that whoever does not experience God in this life will not experience him even in the next life. And yeah, if we experience him once and then our lives are back to normal, it doesn't matter. Because this experience is as if we have deposited a big amount of money in the bank. We don't have it in front of us, but it's there. So when we pass away, this is our inheritance, which will be multiplied. But if we never had the experience of God, and what does the experience of God mean? Like, there are lots of different ways of experiencing God. But even if you go to a service once and you feel this joy inside you feel this love for Christ, there were people, more than one person have told me this experience, that I don't know if they were praying or not, but they were within a lot of people. They were in a shopping center, whatever it was, and all of a sudden things changed around them and they felt an unconditional love for everyone who was there. This is not something that happens because we thought about it. This is God there. This is a taste of how God loves us. This is a spiritual experience. This is a taste of what it is to be human. So there are all sort of different ways of experiencing God. And sometimes we might have experienced these things and never thought about them. But we need to think about them, because if we don't, we don't try to multiply them, and we should.
How can we make those experiences stay?
How do you make this? They come and go. And you're lucky they come and go. Imagine if they don't come. If they don't come, they can't go. I mean, if they don't come, they're away. Yes. How do we make them stay? Different experiences, they have different qualities. So if we're talking about a sense of peace while you pray, God can help you cultivate this. This is a presence of God, but it's like something that can be cultivated. The thing is, our prayer changes from time to time for a number of reasons. It could be because for a month we could be tired. It could be because for a while we might be distracted at work or at home and something occupies our mind. So there are lots of different ways. There are lots of different reasons why these basic ones, they can come and go. But if you have your mind there, they will come and then they will stay. If you have your focus there. And our spiritual life changes every day. So it's not uncommon that one time you might feel love, another time you might feel joy, another time you might feel peace. They're different things. But all these can be experienced. Then when we talk about the big ones, like what the saints call ecstasy, and like when there is a spiritual experience so strong that it's like, wow, what just happened? These things, they can't be happening every time we pray. And they can happen when we don't pray, not when we don't pray, but when we don't pray at the time. And they can happen when we're on a very low level, low point in our lives, because God wants to give us strength. They can happen whenever God wants, because God knows our heart, and we might think that at the moment we're not in a good spiritual level, but God might have allowed this to happen to humble us, and it might have worked, and that's when God can appear to us in such a way. But these things, they happen, they are like big events in our lives. We get knowledge from them. Now, what sort of knowledge? It's a big story, but we get knowledge from them. And every time we think about them, we can understand something different. It's like the gospel that every time tells us something different. These spiritual experiences, every time we think about them, we can understand something different. Something different from for ourselves, for our future, what to do, and for what God wants from us. So there are sources of knowledge that it's slow release. All right? It's not all at once, because we won't be able to handle it all at once. Yeah? All right. Now, there is a question here, and I want your thoughts. There are many times I feel robotic when I pray. Is this pride? If this was pride, we're all proud. But is this pride when I feel robotic when I pray? Anyone with a humble opinion? Come on, it's either yes or no. What do you guys think?
Sometimes it might not come, like the feeling of prayer that we've experienced a couple of times, as we've just spoken about. Like what you've been united with God. So you just have, sometimes you just have to at least say the words, continue with him, so that you can get into prayer, I guess. So it's not pride, you make the effort, you want to be with Christ, you're trying to pray.
Yes. If anything, these experiences sometimes they are humbling, because it makes us understand that we can't do much. Of course, we can't do anything ourselves, but it helps us understand that prayer doesn't depend on how we want to feel. This could be meditation, but this is not prayer. So prayer depends on God only. But to be robotic in our prayers, that's a very common thing. We all go through that. We need to keep going. The fathers of the church, they say that there are two ways of praying, and I will explain what I mean. Don't make assumptions, I will explain what I mean. Two ways of praying: for those that they have taken care of everything that they possibly could in order to have good prayers. And what are these two ways? The first way is that the prayer might start before you even start praying. It can happen. So it's like a feeling that your heart wants to pray, and this starts before you even start saying the prayer. This is the one way. Or, like, you start praying and the prayer comes. Like, when we say prayer, we mean something that you feel, something that you're praying, and you're not robotic. And the second way is that you try your hardest, as much as possible, and it's like the prayer follows. It's like you drag the prayer and you bring it to you. That's if we have done everything possible and there is nothing that we could have done more. These two ways of prayer. So one way or another, we have to keep trying and rely on God's mercy. But it's not pride when we can't pray. It could be because we're tired. It could be because we leave prayer as usual for the last thing that we could do during the day. So our brain doesn't function 100%. And it could be because we are distracted. It could be because even if we're too hungry or we're too full, these things, they don't help. We need to have a balance in our lives. We need to have a spiritual program, which we talk about with our spiritual father, and we go from there. But it doesn't mean when our prayers are robotic, it doesn't mean that this is pride. If anything, we keep going, and this shows that we are humble and we try our best. So don't get disappointed if your prayers, they don't come straight away. Just keep going. And if we take care of every little detail, as Yerda said tonight in this book, the humble person will definitely get answers in his prayer. Anything else? Yeah, just a minute for the microphone.
When we pray, is it better to read the prayer out loud or to sort of say it in our minds?
Are you talking about Jesus' prayer or just any prayer? Yes. I'll tell you first about Jesus' prayer. Different monasteries have different traditions, and accordingly, different spiritual fathers will give different advice, even for the lay people, for the married people. So, for example, if you go to, this is well known, so it's not like a secret or anything. If you go to Vatopedi, you will hear the monks saying the Jesus prayer out loud. Kyrie sou Christe eleison, like I just said it. And this is everyone all the time. If you go to Simonopetra, you can hear them talking, but you won't hear them saying Jesus' prayer. It doesn't mean that they don't pray. It means that the direction they have is to not show that they are praying. Different approaches. What's better? Everyone has something that's comfortable with. Now, if you try to pray and you want to pray silently, but you're sleepy and you're going to fall asleep, you have to say it with your mouth so that you wake yourself up. And if you say it with your mouth and it's destructive, it's the opposite. You can be silent. Even during the Divine Liturgy, the priests, they have some prayers that they read. And every priest is different, or maybe I'm different. So most of the prayers, I don't even say them loud because I want to pray while I say them, and it helps me if I don't hear my voice. My voice distracts me. So that's me. But then when I liturgize, everyone around me doesn't know what happens. Father can witness that, has witnessed that. But that's how I am more comfortable. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. Yerdas Emilianos, when you were to ask him this question about Jesus' prayer, he would tell you, you could do something in between, which is, instead of saying it out loud, for not falling asleep and being sleepy, you can use your mouth without voice. Small movements of your mouth without voice. And this helps you be more alert, and at the same time your voice does not distract you. But every spiritual father will tell you something different. And you yourself have to know what you're more comfortable with, and then talk about it with your spiritual father. Does this answer your question? All right. Anything else? Because the time has passed. What? There's no more. That's it. If we say more, we'll finish the book, and what are we going to do after? All right. I didn't even finish the paragraph here, but yeah. Or did I? Or maybe I did. Anyway. All right. So if we don't have anything else, that's it. Good luck with humility. But I'm telling you, if we don't at least try, we are wasting our lives. We are wasting our lives because this life, the salvation is personal, but this life, it's not all about me. If it is about me, I'm telling you, you will end up alone and maybe not even be saved. But if you make your life about others, and if you make your life about God, then you will save your soul first. Think about it, not while driving, all right? All right, that's it. Διευχών των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριε Χριστέ ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσον ημάς. Αμήν. Turn it up.